Lord. So, that's enough on missions conference. Let's go to our Bible verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. We're going to be focusing on verse 15, but I wanted to put it in context. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach maturity, until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You indeed that You have shown us how we can grow and be more like You. But Father, we don't always see it, not as clearly as we should. So we ask here today that You would just illuminate these Scriptures for us, that You would bring to each and every one of us that part that we're supposed to be doing. That part will help us to grow up, to mature, to be like Christ. So, Father, I just ask right now that as I share Your Word this morning, that Your anointing and empowerment would be upon me, that I would speak Your Word in truth and in power, that it might indeed touch the heart of each person here, that they might take it and not just look at it, but implement it in their very lives. Now, Lord, we give You all that we are, and we ask, Lord, focus us for this short time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go back, go to the fourth slide on that slideshow there, Mike. In your reading this week, the verse that was used one day came from the Message. Twenty-third day, I believe, said, "God wants us to grow up like Christ in everything." And that's the version from the Message. When we look at, if you want to back it up, just two slides, I believe. Nope, one slide. Go forward one. There we go. See the highlighted portion there? And underlined is verse 15. This is the verse that we read from the, I just gave you a rendition of it from the Message. But here in the NIV, it says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ." We will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay, Mike, shut that up. That we're supposed to grow up to be like Christ. We were created. And what image were we each one created? We were created each in the image of Christ, in the image of God. And God breathed life into man. He didn't do that with the rest of creation. He spoke it into being, and it was. But man he formed with his hands out of the dust. Then he breathed life into it. And he made us in his image. But yet, in the garden, we sinned. And sin came into the world. Now, it wasn't the first sin ever to be. Four other created beings had sinned previously, and in fact, brought about that temptation, that chance to do right, and we did wrong. Adam and Eve, they said, well, you know what? Maybe. And they gave it a try and decided and found out that it wasn't such a good thing. Unfortunately, we each pay that penalty. Because sin didn't just enter into the world, but it entered into us. Through the first man, Adam, sin came to all men and women. And it is through the man Christ that redemption from that sin comes. Now, this week's reading title is You Were Created to Become Like Christ. That is our purpose. Purpose number three that Rick Warren was using this week. Another verse that he uses from the Living Bible translation, Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. Becoming like Christ, the redemption. We're made in the image of Christ. All these things are tied together and made to happen through this theological term that we call sanctification. So while we're made in the image of Christ, we're fallen and we need to be redeemed. And when we're redeemed, there's justification, there's forgiveness, and that period of time, sanctification happens. But see, sanctification is, if you would, a two-part deal. It is first something that happens right then. You are sanctified. You have been set aside for Christ. That's one part of the meaning. But there's two meanings to it that are interconnected. The first part is, it's right there, boom. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been sanctified. End of story. You are. You've been set apart for Christ. He's marked you with the Holy Spirit. You're His. But you are also undergoing the process of becoming like Christ. Becoming Christ-like. Being conformed into the image of Christ. Growing up into the maturity to become like Christ. As it said here, it says, grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ. We will in all things grow up to be like Him. We can't do that until we have the Holy Spirit within us, until we have Christ within us, if you would, cleaning house. The illustration that was used in the book was one of that Rick Warren used this last week. Of part of the process of sanctification was first there's a beachhead, first there's bombardment, and then the beachhead, and then taking over parts of the island, just like the Marines and the Army did throughout the South Pacific during World War II. Until finally they had control of the entire island. To take that illustration, say sanctification is we first have the island surrounded, it's ours. And then we have the process of sanctification where God comes in and cleans it up. Now this is actually, whether you know it or not, one of the things that the Alliance really promotes or has been part of the strong teachings of the Alliance pastors and theologians is that sanctification, that deeper life, that becoming more like Christ is a process. That it doesn't just happen to us, but that we must participate in to get its full benefit here on earth. See, the more Christ-like I can become here on earth, the better my experience here on earth is going to be. Now, granted, when I die, or if the Lord comes before I die, and I go to be with Him in heaven, in that twinkling of an eye, at that point, the sanctification process will, if you rush to completion, in God's timing, that will happen. One way or the other, whether I participate in that or not. But what benefit has it done me here on earth? None. See, God wants us to grow. Again, I like the analogy that Rick Warren used. You know, he grows a mushroom overnight, but an oak tree takes 100 years. There's a place for mushrooms. They have their place. I happen to like them. Cooked properly, they're a great side dish. But I wouldn't try to build anything of any long-lasting sustenance out of them. You wouldn't build a house out of it. You wouldn't use it for strong construction. If you want to build something strong, use good hardwood. We'd love to build something. We would build a whole house out of oak if we could, except for the fact it's too expensive. Oak beams? Could you imagine what a house with an oak that was used oak instead of pine for its framing? It'd be terribly strong, but it would be too expensive for anybody to build to any purpose. But see, God can and does want to build each of us like an oak. And that process takes time. And as we're here on this earth, the more time we can put into that process, the more Christ-like we become and the benefits that we have. See, God wants to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all here on earth. But part of that process is as we conform ourselves to Christ, the blessing that we have comes from being like Christ. It's not that Christ was never tempted. He was. He didn't succumb to the temptation. I don't know about you, but I still succumb to temptation on a daily basis. I would really like to get past that. And the more I make those decisions not to submit, I become more sanctified, that is, more Christ-like. I become a little bit closer to what God wants me to be, which is like His Son. Like how He wants you to be. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Who is Jesus? What is He? Who remembers the little song as a little kid? You know, I can't remember the song. God is love, God is love. Bless Him, bless Him, all you little children. God is love. God. I shouldn't be singing, I know. I'm sorry. You didn't do anything wrong. You shouldn't be subjected to that. But God is love. Mike, you're great. Nope, put it back. Yes. Oh, you had it here, but you didn't have it there? Ah. See, I assumed it was there, it was there. Now he's confusing me. That's okay, easily done. I know this is probably a new thing for you if you haven't seen this definition before, but love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. And as we become sanctified, we will become more like that. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is. He is so selfless, He sent His Son to die for us. He's so loyal that even though we yell and scream, He says, that's okay, I love you anyways. He's so benevolent that He only does that which is best for us, even though we might say, I don't want it. It's something. Now, it's never an easy thing to cause a child pain. But sometimes the child needs to go through pain. Take them to the dentist. But it's going to hurt if they fill the cavities in my teeth. Yeah, but the cavities will be worse if you lose the teeth. So fix it. But they're going to give me a shot of Novocaine. I don't want the shot. Well, if I don't give you the shot, that hurts a little bit. It's going to hurt more. The parent knows that. The dentist knows that. The little child just knows that it doesn't. So it's done. But also the parent maybe is doing something that the child doesn't know about. Maybe they're benevolently in love, putting away a few dollars from every paycheck into some savings account so that one day that child is 18, 19, 20 years old, whatever, says, you know, I want to go to college. Parent could say, no, here. Here's money for college. Well, where'd that come from? We don't have money. I put this away for you. That's something that's done benevolently out of love. Child doesn't understand why until they get old enough and can appreciate that. And that's what we're supposed to be conformed to. That's the image. That of God being in love. Again, let me go back here to Ephesians chapter 15. Or chapter 4, verse 15. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows up and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, as we become more loving, we become more Christ-like. We become more like God who loves us, who is that perfect reflection of love. So, this morning, I want you to consider that third purpose that Rick Warren laid out for us, that we are each one to become more Christ-like, that we are each one to become loving. And that process, the theological term is called sanctification. But that's not what's important. What's important is to look at Christ and to see what it is He did and the life He led, and for each one of us to say, I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You today that You indeed sent Your Son Jesus to show us how to live in love. How to live that out. And how by doing so, we become more like You. Because it is never loving to sin. It is never loving to do wrong. But Lord, we do that all the time. So Father, we ask that You would help us, each one, to love You and to love those around us as You love us and as You even love Yourself. Father, conform us into the image of Christ. Reform us so that we are no longer sinners who are looking at You and trying to be Christ-like, but instead, might we be those who are Christ-like, who do occasionally sin. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that you give us and for the fact that you will help us to overcome that temptation. And as we become more like Christ, we will sin less. And we will love more. Again, Lord, help us to love you and to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.